HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I am joined by Padraig Hyland, the CEO of The Core Story. Padraig, very welcome to the HR Headquarters podcast. How are you?
Thank you, Declan. Good to be here. Delighted to be here.
Good stuff. The Core Story, why don't you just give us a brief overview, Padraig?
So The Core Story, so core is probably a reference more to authentic than anything. So when we talk about The Core Story, what we really mean is that authentic story that a leader or an organization has or owns or is unique to them. And so a lot of what we do is helping organizations and leaders uncover what that story is. Many of us are unaware of our story, or we're often living the wrong story, both as organizations and as leaders. So that's what we help organizations to do.
What is storytelling in an organization or in a corporate world, and why should leaders care about it?
Well, storytelling is probably recognized within organizations as a good way to kind of, you know, connect with people or engage them or maybe land a message, and, you know, might be used in a presentation or in a particular type of meeting. What people are becoming more aware of is that story is much bigger than that. It's how the, you know, how we humans make sense of things. So if you can understand how somebody, an organization or a group of people or an individual makes sense of things, you really have a good understanding of that person. And if you can influence how they make sense of things, then you have really a great chance of making an impact on them or inspiring them. And so we would help organizations figure out what their story is so they can develop a story that inspires not only themselves, but everybody in the organization, so that a strategy can come alive for everybody in the everyday, for example, rather than just for the few people that came up with it.
And I think a lot of organizations, Padraig, you know, purpose has been a bit of a watchword in the last, you know, couple of years, certainly. A lot of organizations talk about their purpose or their, you know, their raison d'etre almost. How is that different to their story?
So it's a good question. It's a great question because it's one of the areas that comes up a lot for us. So, for example, I'll just explain a little bit about purpose and authenticity first. So we believe that not everybody has a purpose. We're not all walking around with a burning purpose. And yet leaders and organizations are under this pressure now to have a purpose. And often, you know, they look around and think, well, what should our purpose be? What would our customers appreciate? So, and then you end up adopting maybe a purpose that isn't fully what we would call authentic. The approach that we take is we help somebody uncover their authentic voice, as we call it, their heart compass, we would call it. If you can help somebody uncover this authentic voice, it's the place where you interact with the world from. It's the place you speak from. And if you can get clarity on that, then you have a good understanding of who you are. Then you can start looking for a purpose. In other words, purpose is good or comes to life when you get clear in your authentic voice and then apply that voice to something, some challenge or opportunity. Then you have a purpose. But if you start with the purpose, you're almost, you know, it needs to be inside out, not outside in. And so that's the first thing. And then we, in the way we operate and helping organizations or leaders to establish what we call an authentic strategy or an authentic strategy story, we always start inside out. There's a lot of self-awareness in it first. And then you also look at things like your stakeholders and what engages and excites them. And it's that combination of looking at who you are and who you care about, whatever they are, whoever they may be. And then start there and then evolve the story that is going to get everybody excited. That core story, that authentic story that everybody can relate to. And probably the thing that story does that maybe a lot of people mightn't realize is story really changes the meaning. If I adopt an authentic story or emerge my authentic story, I have the ability of changing what it means to work around here, changing what it means to be a customer. And if you are, you know, if you change what it means to for people to be around here, you are really creating things like culture. You know, when people talk about, you know, influencing culture, impacting culture, what you're really doing is changing the story of what it is to work here. And the story is driven by the experience, and the experience drives the story. So they're kind of very closely connected. But going back to how is story used in businesses, we enable leaders to understand, how do you use story to influence or inspire or impact a group of people? What's the right story to use at which time? Now, it's not all this kind of Machiavellian trying to come up with stories. It is always coming from the core story. Always. So it's really about being authentic from my understanding who I am and what I want to do and how I want to impact others. What's the right story with that in mind? As opposed to, let's find a great story that we know people will respond to. And this authentic storytelling is really powerful because it makes for really congruent leadership. And inspiring leadership at a time when there's a high degree of uncertainty. So when you don't know what the future is going to be, the only thing you can be is consistent and true to who you are. And that's enough to keep people engaged. It's enough to inspire people around you. It's enough to get people to go on a journey with you. But if you don't have that, then you're just, you know, you're not being inspiring. You're not being engaging for people. And if you look at what's going on in the world today, you've got things like the Great Resignation, the silent resignation, hybrid working. People are struggling. They're trying to figure it out. Everybody's tired. Leaders are tired. So, you know, the Great Resignation isn't just, you know, employees or people in there. It's leaders as well. Everybody's had enough. And there is a need to reconnect and a need to build trust within the organization. And a need to reconnect with the organization, what it's about. So purpose has become really important. But I think how you get there and how you engage people around that purpose is really important. And that's the space we operate in. We help people figure that out. And we do it in what we like to think is as quite creative, innovative ways. So, for example, we have a story-based discovery process where we take leaders through a program of self-discovery. But we do it using story, not research, not fill out the following questionnaire, not, it's really uncovering their stories and using the meanings from those stories and the way they make meanings out of stories to be able to give them some really interesting self-discovery. And we often will establish what we call your heart compass, which is a one sentence of who you are when you engage with the world and what you care about, that takes into consideration what you care about, but your sense of ambition, or for an organization, that sense of shared ambition and sense of purpose. So it's an interesting process, really, really fascinating process for people to go through. But where you get to is a place where, I won't call it surety, but you're much more, as I say, congruent and clearer about what it is you're trying to do and how you should interact. And that in itself is it's a very powerful thing for a leader.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Just as you're talking there, Pork, I'm just curious, do you believe an organization can have a story as well as the people in the organization, which is what I think you were touching on there, and how do they overlap?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, because one of the things we do is establish the organization story, but we also establish individual leader stories, for example, and make sure that they're congruent. There's a piece of work we do where we establish what we call authentic strategy or leadership statements. And that process is literally an alignment to make sure both of those are congruent. So that's definitely part of the question. So your question is there a difference between the leadership story and the organization story? Well, firstly, yes, an organization does have a story. And it has an authentic story. And it's like any story, it'll have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But often when we work with organizations to establish, the end is in the future. In other words, the end is your vision. So we look at where you came from, we look at where you're at, and we're looking at where you're going. And that becomes the elements of your corporate story, shall we say. But it's, I'll give you a really good example, actually, to highlight what the journey can be and what you can discover on it is. We did a piece of work for an international, they're a marketing organization, and they had come up with a new strategy, and they came to us and said, look, we've got this new strategy. It was around a certain type of content they were going to become famous for, and they really loved it, and they were really good at it. They'd done it for a couple of their clients, and it went really well. And they're like, we think this is our future strategy. And we said, okay, that's great. So then we come in and they asked us to come in and say, we just want you to kind of storify it, you know, energize it. And so we came in, and what we would do is we would look at, for example, interview people, establish what the current story is. We then looked at the past and where they came from and mined some of the stories from their past. And then we looked at this new vision. And what we found was that this new vision wasn't really very well embedded in their past or in the future. It was okay. It was showing up a little bit, but no more than it would in any marketing agency. But there was this other thing. This particular agency had worked a lot and gone beyond branding. In other words, they'd impacted society, and they'd been around a long time, over 100 years. And, you know, they had encouraged women to play sport and ride bikes at a time where, you know, 100 years ago, that wasn't encouraged, this kind of thing. And they had there was lots of evidence and stories we picked up where they were influencing culture as much as launching a brand, you know, and that was showing up in even some of their activities in the current day. And what we were able to kind of find, you know, evolve for them is that, you know what, this new strategy you have isn't as authentic as this thing. This thing here, which we called culture, is far more authentic to you. It pops up every time you get. And even in the meeting where we introduced it, all of a sudden this conversation started, and I've never seen them so energized. And I said, guys, look at yourselves. I've never seen you this energized about something. This is authentic to who you are. So while the market's not asking for that right now, it is authentic to who you are. And if, you know, this is, so if you're going to go down a content route, you need to bring this culture piece into it, because that's what's going to light it up for you. And actually, in fact, they did. And what happened was they actually got in sort of ahead of the market, because they were now going out to the market to position something that was very authentic to them, but it was also very relevant to the market. So it was actually a win-win. But just by using stories and just by uncovering stories, we were able to establish what was a little bit more authentic. Therefore, it energizes them more. Therefore, the team gets more energized by it. Therefore, they engage differently. Everything becomes energized. They could energize. And we did, in this case, bring in some clients and tested with them as well. And the response was really, really good. So it's that kind of work, but it's rooted in this kind of authentic storytelling.
Okay, I'm just going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. But when we come back, I would love to hear your opinion as to what are the components of a good story.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Pádraic, so a good story. What's included? How is it made up?
Oh, well, a good story, but like any good story, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I just talked about that in a lot of the kind of strategy stories. It's about where we came from, where we're at now, and our vision. So that's our beginning, middle, and end. But there's usually a tension in it as well. Every good story has attention, and that's what draws us in, because all stories are really about a change. And every time you hear a story, it's about, you know, the world used to be like this, then something happened, and ever since then the world is like that. There's been a change, and a strategy story has the same thing. And so what really ratchets up a story is there's a tension in there. So for an organization, it might be, you know, we've been disrupted. And all of a sudden, you know, our clients are starting to move away. Like, are we going to be able to survive? That could be a tension. It might be about keeping our employees are leaving. And if we don't manage to do that, there could be a tension in there. The tension could be anything, or many things, I should say. So a good tension, your ability to ratchet up the attention, or the tension, I should say. And that's not about creating false, or heightened stuff around it. It's just more about uncovering why it's an important tension. It's just about bringing that out and bringing it to the fore. That's what the listener loves to hear. In business storytelling, we have found that if you can get the right tension, that makes a big difference. But also, it's really important not to, in any way, whitewash, greenwash, whatever you want to call it, the reality. So one of the tensions we often have with an organization when we do this work is they go, oh, we can't say that. Yeah, but that's what happened. I know that's what happened, but we don't really want to talk a lot about that because we've kind of moved on. Yeah, yeah. But your people, the people you're trying to engage, they think this way. They want you to admit. They want to admit. They want to move on. You have to say it happened. And so you'll have, you know, so that's, I think with business storytelling in particular, it's important that you deliver a credible, authentic story. Yeah, they would be the key things. Like any story, it'll have a trigger and a climax. It'll have certain story elements. I will say a lot of storytelling in business can be not really stories. They're like, every story, for example, has a secret sequence of events. And a lot of business storytelling will have a sequence of events, but it might be missing a trigger and a climax or this tension. And so, for example, you might have something in business that's like a case study is a very common story told in business. It's like, oh, here's a case study. And, you know, ABC company, we're struggling with this. And then we came in and we did that. And they are now happily ever after. Whereas they don't get into the, you know, well, the CEO was literally reaching across the desk, grabbed me by the neck and said, man, you've got to help me because if I don't solve this problem within the next 2 weeks, I'm out of it. You know, you bring in the human element and there is a trigger that often isn't heightened. It's just we outline the series of events. It's always a success story and we're always the kind of heroes that help the customer or whatever. That kind of storytelling is a bit ineffectual sometimes. And often you'll get people telling the wrong story. I had a really good incident recently where I had a client and we were at an event and we'd done some work and this particular client wanted to connect with this individual at the event that they could have got a lot of business out of. And they were in the construction space and they eventually did. I introduced them and they had a great chat for about 20 minutes, but they talked about the industry and how tough it was and how it's changed. And the downturn and then the subsequent upturn and price rises, all sorts of stuff. But it was very kind of all about the toughness of the industry and how uncertain it was and the challenges within it. But they connected really well. And I was coming away and the guy was like, oh, I think that went really well. And I said, well, I actually don't think it did. I think you connected well as two guys from the industry. I said, but you ended up talking about and the story became about what's tough and what's risky and what's... And you're looking for this guy to invest in a whole new space. You just basically narrated the wrong story. What you should have been doing is having a conversation about how there are risks in the industry, but, or what, you know, there was none of the, you know, there was none of the optimism. There was none of the, let's have a go. So that's in just one particular environment or one particular interaction. So, but organizations do the same thing overall. They tell the wrong story. We had a very interesting situation where we had a global FMCG company and they were launching a brand new product. Well, it was it's a $1 billion business. And part of what they have to do is get the countries all around the world to buy into their brand because their countries can choose lots of brands within the brand ownership, the brand group they have. So they were trying to encourage them to take this new brand, which was slightly out of category. It was a new category. And it had huge potential for them. So they were going out talking to the different countries, telling them the amazing potential this product had. And it had. It had huge potential. And they were doing it really successfully in lots of countries where they launched. But they were finding the take-up really low. And they tried harder. They put more information out there about how successful it was and how do you do it easily and that. And then we came in and did a bit of work and we discovered the problem wasn't that people didn't believe it didn't have potential and it couldn't grow. They believed that. They totally bought into that. The problem was it wasn't in category. They were used to selling this particular category all their lives. They were really invested in it. And you're coming along with a new thing that almost is a challenge. This, they had a problem with the product, not with its potential. And so we were able to flip it. And then they started to tell a story, which was more about how the product complemented what we do. They stopped talking about growth and started talking about how they're very similar in a lot of ways and how they complemented each other. And all of a sudden, you know, things started to change because they changed the story. So the story you tell as an organization or as an individual is hugely powerful in how it influences you, but also your stakeholders, the people you're trying to inspire or influence in some way.
So
So becoming aware of that is really important, and being able to have that sort of wherewithal. So a lot of our work is training leaders in storytelling. How do you use it? And giving them the tools and the resources. So we've evolved a whole set of tools around bringing stories alive and identifying the right story for certain stakeholders and authentic storytelling, a set of resources that help you access stories quickly and integrate them into a talk or a meeting or a town hall or whatever it is you need, and helping leaders to just show up differently and emphasize engagement far more than content. For example, so a lot of what happens today is we emphasize the messages we want to get across, and it's all about the content. We cram stuff in. We're like, no, back it up. Take 80% of that out. Get two or three things and let's do it in a really highly engaging way. Let's storify it. Let's ensure it's in line with the core story, all that kind of work. So it's interesting, and it's very, I would say, in zeitgeist at the moment, because we have a lot of people coming to us now, and they're leaders who have really successful strategies, but they're recognizing that the energy is waning a little bit, and they feel like there's something missing. And the thing that's missing is the story, because you've done all the smart stuff. We differentiate between what we call smart strategy and hard strategy. The smart strategy is all that stuff we do around strategy. We analyze the market, we get consumer insights, we do all that, a huge amount of our capabilities versus the competitors, lots of really great work. And then we make some very smart decisions, but then we neglect the heart piece. How do you connect people around? How do you energize it? So you launch a new change, a transformation, 6 months in, you're grinding it out now, and you're all the posters of, all the pizzazz is finished. What keeps us going? Well, that's the story. And if the story doesn't emerge, and sometimes it does emerge, but a lot of the times it doesn't. So you need to take responsibility for what we call the heart strategy. And these days, when you're trying to attract people and retain them, if you haven't got a clear heart strategy, then your smart strategy is really going to struggle, no matter how smart it is.
I'm going to rewind slightly to something you mentioned a few minutes ago, Pork, around companies, like the feedback. We can't say that. You've used the word authenticity or authentic several times in our 20 minutes or so talking.
Yeah.
Is not saying something as damaging as saying the wrong thing if it's what is on the people's mind?
Yeah, it is, because that's an element of inauthenticity, or not calling something out. It's like the elephant in the room or whatever. It just becomes not as credible. So we did a piece of work for an organization, a global financial services organization. And, they'd been through the ringer a little bit. They'd been through some tough times and they'd made some mistakes. And we did some work with them. And what we found is, there was a little bit of discomfort maybe in where we landed, but there was a commitment. They wanted to do the right thing. And when they engaged the wider team around the world, around their story, they found the response was amazing in terms of the people really appreciated that you called it as it was. You didn't hide anything. Even though some of these people were kind of a little bit as complicit as anything in this happening, but they wanted to say, yeah, we did make that mistake. Yeah, we did lose ourselves. But we've worked really hard to get here now. And like anything, the story is usually about where we're going as much as what we've done in the past. So the credibility of it is really important. And that comes in calling things the way they are. But I should highlight, an authentic story, authenticity and honesty are not the same thing. I can be not saying certain things and still be very authentic. Because sometimes as a leader, it's not like, let's say as a leader, I'm under pressure and I have to find 20% cost cutting. Well, that means I've got to let some people go at some time. Now, an honest leader might come out, if honesty was your thing, you come out and say, all right, listen, we're going to have to find 20%. Some people are going to have to go. Well, you're just going to send huge worry throughout the organization. You need time to figure it out. And at the appropriate time, you need to make these announcements. But an authentic leader might say that we're challenged and we have to find savings. And whatever happens, we'll take care of our people. Now, that may mean letting go some of them, but we'll take care of them. So you may not even mention the people, but what you might indicate that, look, we always as an organization do the right thing. Because that's something that gets muddled. Authenticity doesn't necessarily mean I'm telling everybody everything, but my heart's in the right place. I'm coming from a place that's congruent and aligned with who I am. And yeah, I'll take tough decisions sometimes. And just because I didn't tell you last week I was going to fire you next week doesn't mean I'm not authentic.
Yeah, it's an interesting distinction.
A situation. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I take your point. What role does the storyteller play?
Central. So the storyteller, again, it's why we put the emphasis on having an authentic voice and being an authentic leader. The storyteller is part of the context of the story. So you as a storyteller and who you are and where you're coming from and what you're about has a big impact on how the listener will take on the story. As a matter of fact, we were talking with a group last night about public speaking, and I was highlighting this point that when you get up in front of an audience, the first couple of seconds, consciously or unconsciously, all that person in the audience is thinking is, who is this person? What are they really about? And until they land on something, they're not really buying into your stuff. And that's why, you know, sometimes when speakers, they get into like present mode and they're kind of hiding behind this, whatever present mode they have. People are trying to figure out, well, who are you? How much do you care about what you're talking about? Are you connected to it? But as soon as somebody says, oh, hold on a minute, this person, yeah, I think they care about this, or, you know, then you can connect. So the speaker, or in this case, the leader who's sharing the story, or the organization, if you're not, authentically connected, the story itself doesn't have as much impact. And it's taken with a slightly different context then.
And so, I presume, sorry.
So I was going to say, so critical, storyteller is critical to the story.
Sorry, what I was going to say is, like, not everyone can be a great orator, you know, or command a room, you know, a Tony Robbins-esque sort of public speaker. Yeah. But I presume once the person has been authentic to themselves as they deliver the story, then that's the key bit.
Yeah. Well, actually, another great point I was making last night at this event is that probably the superpower in speaking is authenticity. So I can even remember being at an event where it was a pitching event for businesses. And there was one lady that walked on the stage. She was clearly nervous, very, very awkward, timid. And she was the most riveting of all because she was nervous, because you could see for this person to be up here, she really cares about what she's talking about. And then when she spoke, you could see she did. And she was the most authentic and yet the most riveting. And then you have kind of whoever, Mr. or Miss Jazz Hands, that comes out and, you know, the Tony, hey, everybody, and like giving it large. And, you know, that's a good, don't get me wrong, they're good communicators, they're good speakers, but they're not maybe always authentic. And therefore, they're not having the impact. As a matter of fact, they can have the opposite effect sometimes. So it's all about them and not about what they're talking about. So I always say some of the best speakers, and indeed, a lot of the best speakers are introverts. I'm a big believer in that. It's about the authenticity is far more important. I was a professional stand-up comedian for a number of years. But I can remember when I first started out and I used to go to these open mics and we'd all be going up with our material, trying our stuff out. And there was this kind of thing that used to happen, really, I couldn't understand, which was people would come down and some people might have very average content, but they always seem to have a good gig. You know, they always kind of get a bit of a laugh out of the audience and connect really well. I'm like, and then you'd have some people that maybe had really good gags written and they'd die. Like, and I remember early on thinking, I don't know what is going on here. And it was only later on looking back at it, this is where I really discovered the importance of this authentic ness is what was happening is the people that had the average-ish maybe material, they were writing material they were connected to, stuff they cared about. You could clearly see it was something of them they were showing. Whereas the rest of us might have been out just writing gags because we think this is a good gag. Maybe people will like this. We weren't really connected. And therefore, we were having to struggle hard with the same audience. So, you know, this idea, you know, this idea of authenticity is so powerful. And all you have to be is yourself. And sometimes at its essence, authenticity is just somebody speaking from the heart in some way. You don't have to reveal everything, but you just have to be connected emotively to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a really interesting area. Porrick Hyland is CEO of The Core Story. Porrick, thanks for joining us today. If people want to explore this a bit more and what you guys do, what's the best way to contact?
Well, we're at thecorestory.com. You can reach out to me, porrick@thecorestory.com, or go onto our website and pop a note or give us a call. And we're happy to talk to people about story and authentic leadership.
Brilliant, Porrick. Thanks for your time today.
All righty, Declan. Thank you.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.